More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I don't accept your apology. Today on More to Life, dealing with someone who won't let things go, or are you struggling to get past an offense? We're going to explore what to do when forgiveness gets complicated. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, I don't accept your apology. So there. What do you do about that?
This is so funny because you sent me earlier, yeah, like the summary of what we were doing on the show so we could prep this.
I texted it to you, yeah.
If you texted it to me. And I just looked at, you know how like when a text comes through, you only get the first few words? And I got, I don't expect you accept your apology. And I'm like, what did I do? I didn't know we had a disagreement. And I'm like, oh, wait. It's a show topic. But it really gave me that jump scare. And it does for everyone, right? You know, if somebody is boldly saying, I don't accept your apology, or they just treat you badly, or they, you know, give you the cold shoulder, it's a very disconcerting feeling. And yeah, yet we do it to each other all the time. You know, people do it to you. And maybe you don't trust somebody, so you do it to them. And it doesn't get us where we want to be.
Well, and the fact is, even
reconciliation,
you know, even when we say, you know, well, I forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we mean to forgive somebody, sometimes the hurt, the resentment, the distrust
fear
is all still there. The fear,
yeah,
it's all still there. And then we feel guilty because, well, I said I forgive them, but I've got these feelings and I don't know what to do about that. And does that mean I'm a bad Christian or a bad person? Or
how do I trust them? How do I trust myself to not get hurt this way again? It gets so tangled up in feelings and fear and a lot of history with somebody. So let's help you out with this today. We're asking you, are you struggling to get forgiveness from someone who hurt you? Or are you having a hard time forgiving someone who hurt you? Forgiveness from somebody that you hurt. Or are you getting a hard time forgiving
this.
Somebody who hurt you? We can do it.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
Maybe you've apologized repeatedly, but it never seems like enough. Or you said you forgive them, but the hurt or resentment and distrust is still haunting you.
Let us help you find grace-filled ways to truly heal your relationship. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You can also shoot your questions to us via email. It's questions@moretoliferadio.com. Either way, we want to hear from you so that we can help you navigate those times when forgiveness gets complicated. 877-573-7825. Whether you're having a hard time forgiving somebody else or you're having a hard time getting them to forgive you, we're here for it either way. 877-573-7825. I mean, the fact is that this is hard for all of us. Forgiveness is difficult. I mean, the good news is it doesn't have to be as hard as a lot of us make it out to be. It's a little more straightforward than we think. We'll unpack that throughout the course of the program. But even the simpler version of forgiveness that we're going to talk about is still challenging, especially when we're trying to get forgiveness from somebody else.
Well, either way, it's complicated. It can be hard. When we're trying to get forgiveness from somebody else, sometimes we even doubt. You know, we've apologize, but part of us thinks, is it going to happen again? Am I going to be able to stay in a place that can do what I promised I'm doing by apologizing? For those of us who are having to do the forgiving, sometimes there's so much more than just the relationship or the incident between you and this other person. Sometimes it's you always felt kind of belittled by the way your parents said you had to forgive your siblings or somebody in your life when you were little, and they just use that, just say you're sorry and move on thing, and you're thinking, if I say I'm sorry, that means I don't get my needs met. If I say I'm sorry, that means that my truth, my experience is being invalidated, because that's how it was when you were growing up. Sometimes you really want to save the relationship, but not the way it's been going. And you're afraid if you accept an apology, you'll never get what you need out of that relationship. So it's truly not as simple as just saying, okay, I forgive you, or, oh, I'm sorry. There's a lot that goes behind it, and then there's the real situation with the person that you're dealing with. So it's like a multi-layered cake of confusion. Ooh. To get to reconciliation.
Multi-layered cake of confusion.
It is.
Cake of confusion.
That's okay.
What the world is today. Hey. 877-573-7825. Today's show, I don't accept your apology. So we talk about those times when forgiveness gets complicated. Are you struggling to get forgiveness from someone you hurt, or are you having a hard time forgiving someone who hurt you? Either way, today's show is for you, as we help you find grace-filled ways to navigate those times when forgiveness gets complicated. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, you can reasonably ask, well, how could some theology possibly help me deal with this whole forgiveness thing? Well, the good news is, when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question, actually a couple of huge questions. He wanted to know, what does it take, what is the Catholic vision of flourishing? What does it take for a Catholic person to live an abundant life and to have the kind of healthy, holy relationships that we all long for? His answer to those questions became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we were created for communion, and that building the kingdom of God is primarily about healing the damage that sin does to our relationships. Forgiveness is a huge part of that holy work, and so is knowing how to make a real apology. But we've all gotten the kind of apology that, you know, it just doesn't land right. Sometimes the words are there, but you just know something's missing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think of a healthy, solid apology like setting a broken bone. You know, the deeper the break, the more it takes to hold things in place while they heal. A quick, oh, my bad, you know, might cover stepping on a toe, you know, but for more serious offenses, an apology really needs three things. You need to feel it, own it, and fix it. Feel it means expressing genuine empathy and understanding for the degree of hurt that your actions caused. Own it means not making excuses for what was done and really acknowledging that the person who was hurt had a right to expect more. And then fix it means intending to work hard to make things right and work with the person who was hurt to heal the relationship.
When we're having a hard time forgiving someone, it's often because the apology was missing one or more of those elements, especially for more serious offenses. If you leave out even one of those three, the apology just isn't strong enough to hold the relationship together while that wound heals.
So when you're struggling to either get or give forgiveness, ask yourself if one of those three parts of a good apology might be missing. Feeling it, owning it, or fixing it. You know, and then be honest about what needs to happen to get those missing parts so that the healing really can start to happen. But let's talk about what that means for you today on More to Life, our show titled, I Don't Accept Your Apology. As we talk about those times when forgiveness is a little complicated, you know, how do we get to the point where we can either get that forgiveness from the person we hurt or truly give that forgiveness to the person who hurt us? 877-573-7825.
I think all those three components, as we unpack them today here on More to Life, are very important. I just want to spend 2 seconds here on the feel it, because what we're talking about is the person who hurt you is genuinely empathetic with your pain, validates that you have a right to feel it, rather than, you know, turns it about themselves. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm such a worm. I'm such a horrible person. So that you start to tell them they're not. you know, you start to appease their pain for being so awful. Or they blame it on you. Yes, I did this, and I'm sorry. If you just hadn't been so fill in the blank, I wouldn't have been lured into this temptation to hurt you. Neither of those things have anything to do with true empathy about what you're feeling because you were offended, and you have a just right to be validated in that experience. And for that person to truly use all three of these components in an authentic way to make that healing happen in the relationship.
I will say it is possible and even noble to forgive somebody even when they haven't apologized or when they haven't given the best apology. That's different from reconciliation, though. Forgiveness
that's
and reconciliation
the deal,
are separate,
yeah.
And we'll talk more about that throughout the course of the program. But, you know, it is complicated, and we want to help you navigate those waters, especially when you're struggling to either forgive or be forgiven. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today, and we bring you those situations where we are either struggling to be forgiven or to give forgiveness to someone who hurt us. We know that your servant, St. John Paul, reminded us that building your kingdom primarily means working to heal the damage that sin has done to all of our relationships. And so we ask, Lord, for the courage, for the grace, for the wisdom, for the humility to do the work that true forgiveness and reconciliation requires. Help us to truly feel and own and offer to fix the things that we've done wrong, or know how to work with the people who've hurt us to do the same, so that we don't just say the magic words, but we actually cooperate with your grace to bring about real healing in our relationships, that all of the relationships that we have would reflect the love that flows from your heart. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled, I Don't Accept Your Apology. And we're talking about those times when forgiveness gets complicated. Are you struggling to forgive someone? Maybe you've said, I forgive you, but the feelings, the distrust, the resentment, the hurt still haunts you. Maybe you hurt someone and you're struggling to get them to forgive you. And you've apologized, you've tried to make it right, but it never seems like it's enough.
Maybe you're in a situation where you don't think you can be in that place to forgive somebody because they haven't made the kind of threefold apology we're talking about, but you're getting a lot of pressure from other people, maybe family members, to just get over it so that you don't mess up the little social system or the family system. And you're thinking, everybody's telling me I just need to forgive them and move on and act like it hasn't happened, but I'm hurting and I don't trust this person and I feel betrayed by the people who are telling me to do this. See how complicated this can get? If you're feeling some of that complication, if you have these questions today, give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
877-573-7825, or shoot your questions via email, questions@moretoliferadio.com. With that, let's take our next question. Lisa, who's
up? We shall indeed. This is from Bridget, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. She said, I got into a bad argument with my sister about a year ago, and I said some things I really regret. I've apologized more times than I can count. I've written her a letter. I've tried to make it up to her, but she still acts icy when we see each other. I hate to admit it, but I kind of dread seeing her. I know I was wrong, and I've owned it, but at this point, I don't know what else she wants from me. I'd like to have my sister back. How can I get her to forgive me?
Bridget, thank you so much for the question, and it's a terrible position to be in where we've done something that we genuinely regret and we're trying to make it up to somebody and we feel like they're continuing to hold it over us. I want to say that when we have done something wrong, we are obliged, obviously, to, as we described in the reflection here, to feel it, to fix it, or to feel it, to own it, and to fix it. To say, look, I understand how much I hurt you, I really get how this affected you, and I'm so sorry. You know, the own it part is, you know, not making excuses. You know, you had a right to expect more from me, and I didn't do it.
And I think not only did you have the right to expect more from me, but I let myself down because I don't want to be this person. So to really say, this is not part of my character in or the character I want to have, and so I really want to make sure that your needs are met and that I know that I'm better than this by making this up to you.
And then the third part is, I really want to make this right. What will it take to show you that you can trust me again? So first of all, look at those three things and make sure that you've done it. It sounds like you have.
Especially with the letter, I hope. But maybe you can go back and kind of, you know, look at a copy of that and see if it's in there.
Yeah. So look at those three elements and make sure that's there. I will say, even when you've done those things, or if you've done those things, you have done what God has asked you to do. And if the other person refuses to forgive you, that's not your responsibility. I mean, you have to be open to their forgiveness and open to working on the relationship, but you can't force someone to accept your apology.
And no, you absolutely can't, but I want to step back one pace from that and just say, if you haven't asked your sister yet, ask her, what do you need from me so that we can be right with each other? That's the one component in your email that I'm not seeing there. So it's okay to actually ask that question.
Well, that was really the next thing I was going to say. That you know, you have to recognize that you can't kill yourself trying to get someone to forgive you. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, you have to be open to that process, and you have to make it possible by the next step going to her and saying, hey, look, you know, I've really been trying to make this right, and I can still tell that you're upset with me or you don't trust me. The way I would phrase it is, you know, what would it take moving forward for you to know that I'm truly sorry and that I don't want to go there again, and that you can trust me again? And see what she says. If she opens up and gives you some things to work with, great. You know, do those steps. If not, what I would say to you is, you want to back off then and stop making the tension, not stop calling attention to the tension. And just build the relationship from where it is. To keep showing up for her, to keep being empathetic.
To keep attending family occasions and not making a big deal about the rift between you when you're there.
Don't jump through hoops for her. Because here's the thing you need to watch for. When somebody's trying not to forgive you, that can be a weird sort of love language. You know, mm-hmm. What I mean by that is that when I don't forgive you, you automatically start doing more to
more
try to,
service,
to get my forgiveness.
More love bombing, more bending over backwards. And so the other person's victimization becomes a way of drawing you in so they can feel cared for.
And so if you indulge that too much, you end up rewarding the withholding of forgiveness. So there's a kind of a fine line you have to strike between, you know, not jumping through hoops on the one hand, but on the other hand, letting them know, look, I am here. I am love you. I do love you, and I am available to work through this whenever you want. But some people don't do a great job of handling things directly, and so if that's the case with your sister, then you're going to want to kind of stop calling attention to the offense and instead work on building the relationship. But the first step is really going to her overtly and just saying, look, I've really been trying to make this up to you, but I can still tell that you're upset with me. What would it take moving forward for you to be able to trust me again and to know that I'm really serious about how sorry I am and how I never want to do that again? And see what she says. If she answers you directly, great, do that thing. But if not, then back up and follow the other suggestions that we made about really just building the relationship slowly and proving to her over time that you're not going to go there again.
And if you have more questions to tease this all out, by all means, Bridget, give us another call and we can help you take the steps that you want to take.
Thanks for the question, and we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Today's show titled, I Don't Accept Your Apology. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls, plus we'll be joined by Ellen Holloway. She is a Theology of the Body expert. She's the host of ReclaimingCatholicIntimacy.com, where she works with Catholic women and helping them achieve greater intimacy in their married lives. We're going to be talking with her about her reflections on the theology of the body and forgiveness when we come back, plus taking more of your calls and questions at 877-573-7825 on our show titled, I Don't Accept Your Apology. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, I don't accept your apology. We're talking about those times when it's hard to either forgive someone or to get forgiveness from them. When forgiveness gets complicated, what do? Let us help you find grace-filled answers to that question and help you bring healing to all of your relationships. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Ellen Holloway. She is the founder and host of ReclaimingCatholicIntimacy.com, where she works with Catholic wives and helps them achieve greater intimacy in their married life. She's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. Ellen, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks so much for having me this morning.
So we were talking over the break and you were sharing that our reflection reminded you of a quote from St. John Paul that really speaks to this whole idea of communion and forgiveness and building the kingdom of God by working to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships.
Absolutely, exactly. So one of the foundational principles of the theology of the body is that we're made in the image of God. And we actually read in Genesis chapter 1, I think it's verse 27, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so John Paul II has this amazing quote. It's in his ninth audience. And he says, man becomes an image of God, not so much in the moment of solitude as in the moment of communion. And what he's talking about there is in Genesis chapter 2, we have the creation story where there's time in between the creation of the first man, Adam, and the creation of woman. And he's reflecting on this difference between this solitude and this communion. And ultimately that we become the image of God in this communion. And it is so important for us to work toward that communion. And that communion is what makes us human. And so even when it's hard, right, when either we've been hurt or we've hurt someone else, that work is so good. It is so holy to do that work of asking for forgiveness or that work of forgiving the other person.
Well, you know, to be made in the image and likeness of God, you know, God is a communion in his very being, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is communion. And so to say that we are made in the image and likeness of God reminds us that as St. John Paul says in that quote that you gave us, yes, we are made in God's image even as individuals, but we are most reflective of that image of God when we are in relationship with others, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in relationship with each other and part of that, you know, as part of the Trinity. And so, like you were saying, doing that work on healing the damage sin does to that communion is really essential to reclaiming our identity in God.
Yeah. Well, and I love that word, reclaiming, right? Just reclaiming that relationship, reclaiming that communion. It's so important, especially in our most intimate relationships, parent to child, husband to wife, right? These deeper, closer relationships, we can hurt each other even more deeply. And so that work becomes even more important.
But I love what you're saying, because as we discuss this today and we take the words of St. John Paul into our hearts, we realize that we can't get stuck in our hurt feelings, our anger, our lack of trust. But that's hard to do on our own. But if we can bring it to the Holy Trinity and say, help me to be more like you. Help me to find a way to reconcile this situation. Give us grace in this situation. It really helps us get over ourselves and do that very holy work.
Amen. Ellen, thank you so much for the insight there, for that wonderful quote from St. John Paul. And if folks would like to learn more about the good work you do, helping Catholic wives really enjoy more intimacy in their marriages, where can they turn for more information?
My website, Reclaiming Catholic Intimacy, is the best place to find all of my info.
Check it out, reclaimingcatholicintimacy.com. Ellen, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much.
And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. When we come back, I want to talk about what forgiveness really is and isn't, and how forgiveness both is different from reconciliation and is the first step in reconciliation, because I think it really clarifies what we're called to do, really, and what we're called to expect in our relationships as well. So we'll be talking about that, plus taking more of your calls on our show today, titled, I Don't Accept Your Apology. 877-573-7825. If you're struggling to forgive someone who hurt you or get forgiveness from someone you hurt, we're here for either side of that coin. Give us a call. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after this break.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible. The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
How does the enemy act when a person moves closer to God? St. Ignatius of Loyola writes in the second of the 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, for then it is proper to the evil spirit to bite, sadden, and place obstacles, disquieting with false reasons, so that the person may not go forward. The enemy bites on a person's thought, causing inner distress, worry, creating anxiety. The enemy's bite unsettles the person. The enemy does not want us to have peace of heart or happiness when we are growing in our service of God. The enemy also brings sadness. Father Timothy Gallagher writes, a sadness with respect to God, to prayer, to the love of others in God, that is, to everything involved in the pursuit of God's will. The enemy also brings obstacles and false reasons that disquiet, disrupting our interior peace.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever get that nagging voice in the back of your head? The one that says, who do you think you are? You'll just mess it up. Most of us try to fight that voice by talking ourselves up, convincing ourselves we're stronger or more talented than we feel. But that never quite works because deep down we know we can't do everything on our own. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I explain that the goal isn't to win an argument with the doubts in your head. It's to stop relying on your own power and start relying on God. Think of it like learning to float. The harder you thrash to keep yourself up, the faster you sink. The more you relax and trust the water to hold you up, the more you stay up. When you're worried, you're not enough. bring the situation to God. Pray, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know you do. Please teach me, guide me. Then take that next small step, trusting he'll hold you up. For more tips on cultivating confidence in the face of fear, check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, I don't accept your apology. We're talking about those times when forgiveness is complicated and you're struggling to either get forgiveness from someone or give it to someone. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Max, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Max, welcome to the show. What's your question for us?
Well, so where do I start here? So I worked for a company for 5 years, and I was due for a promotion. And the person on the panel that would have passed my promotion but sank it still lives rent-free in my head. Years later, I was more than qualified. I had the tenure. I had even worked internationally. I'd helped launch 50 buildings. And not only did he not pass me, he recruited 2 out of 4 of my frontline managers that my direct reports to his building. And I just can't forgive this person. It was so diabolical. It made work terrible. And he recruited them the day he didn't promote me at the panel. And it kills me. And even though now I'm in a new city, a better job, I still cannot forgive this person. It's crazy. So I just wanted some input of, how do I forgive somebody that just ruined my career? And another business that I would have loved to make a long-term career, by the way, I picked a much smaller business unit to move to, but
gotcha.
It kills me.
Now, are you still, just so I'm very clear on what you're grappling with here, Max, are you completely divested from that person and that company? You're no longer working in the same company, or you just moved to a different place, but somehow he's still entangled in the same company that you're working? Which one is it?
No, completely divested.
Okay.
Different company. He doesn't have any sway over me anymore. But I think about this person almost every day.
Are you happy? Are you happy in your current position?
I am.
And what do you feel? Is there anything? And just some background questions to make sure I know how to best answer you. Is there anything that you feel is missing from your current position, or anything that he took away from you that you are still struggling to get back in your mind?
Well, just my long-term career with this other company. Company I used to work for, it's a bloody greasy pole to get promoted, and I would have been one of the younger people to be promoted at that level, but I had all the qualifications. At one point I used my own vacation to visit other warehouses to help optimize and improve them, just to try to get
sounds promoted. Like a tough culture, though. And I certainly can understand the frustration with being passed over. I'm just curious, though, is it one of those things where, you know, if you had gotten it and had you stayed there, what do you think the quality of your life would have been? Would it have been the same as it is now?
Admittedly, it would have been a lot harder, but this company is one of the best in the world at what they do, and I was okay with that. I invested so much time. Like I said, I worked internationally in England for 2 years. I just did everything under the moon to get promoted, and the one guy that could have done it kind of had an extra grind with me. I think the one reason he was upset with me was I had recruited somebody from his warehouse. You know, one of 40 people, and his response was to that I me and take 2 out of 4 people in a rural environment. So,
and how have you been praying about this? I just again, last question, then I'll throw some thoughts out here.
Every morning, I have a little prayer shrine in my home, and I kneel and I pray to this person, and then a couple other prayers that I do. But I still think about him all the time, and I don't think he thinks about me at all, so I shouldn't let him run free in my head. But, yeah.
Right. All right, well, let's talk about it. Okay, so let's talk about what forgiveness involves and what it doesn't. Okay, so the Catechism, 2843, says, it is not within our power not to feel or to forget an offense. Kind of awkwardly stated, but basically what but that's a quote. And what it means is that
on our own power, we can't get over it.
That's right. And that forgiveness doesn't actually require us to not feel hurt or angry or frustrated by what that person did to us. forgiveness doesn't really have anything to do with that. Forgiveness has to do with, have I given up my natural desire to hurt that other person for having hurt me? Have I given up my natural desire to wish them ill for having hurt me?
Now, that doesn't mean you're giving up the recognition that an injustice was done to you. It just means you don't want to lash out at this person.
Or talk badly about them behind their backs, or you kind of trash them. It's okay to tell people, you know, well, this person did this thing to me. If it's important to have that conversation, for example, for your healing, and not to just, you know, gossip about them. Mm-hmm. But we need to start with recognizing that forgiveness doesn't require us to pretend that what you did didn't hurt, or that when I think about it, I still don't feel hurt by it, because we're allowed to remember and we're allowed to feel. Forgiveness just means that I'm gonna go out of my way not to hurt you for having hurt me, or not to wish ill on you for having hurt me. So I don't know where you're at in that process, but if you can say that, you know, look, I'm you could even say, I want to hold the guy. I wish the guy could be accountable. I wish that some way that person who hurt me would learn from their mistake, or
to not benefit and grow in the company because he stabbed me in the back.
Because it's okay to want to hold somebody accountable. That's not unforgiving to say, look, I want them to learn from their mistake. I want them to face the consequences of their mistake. That's actually working for their good, because to just let someone continue to behave in an unjust, sinful way isn't loving. And so, when, you know, even if we ask the Lord to, you know, please let them learn from this, let them, you know, take responsibility for this and not do this to other people, that's okay. That's not unforgiving. That's still working for their good.
But I think that one of the things you want to add to your morning prayer, Max, is, yes, you're praying for that person. Yes, you're, you know, talking to God about all of this. But ask the Lord to give you the eyes to see how he used this unjust thing that happened to you to move you to a place where you can be your best self, where he has a plan for you. Because even when humans make a complete hash of things for ourselves, or other people, you know, do it to us, when we take it to God, he not only gives us the grace to forgive, but he really does want to make our lives everything he's called them to be. And so he can use even what this person has done against you,
well,
if we give it to God.
Yeah, and that's why I was asking some of the questions I was asking, because, you know, you described a pretty toxic corporate environment, not just because of your boss, but because you were saying it's a very cutthroat, bloody place to work.
The fact that you had you willingly offered up your vacation time and time that you should be taking care of yourself to go and do more. And I promise you, you did all that, and you can see it. It wasn't recognized, so it was toxic in many ways.
So the point of my raising that is that you might have been okay with that, but maybe God wasn't okay with that for you.
Yeah.
You know, that perhaps God wanted a better quality of life for you, and that's why you are in the position that you're at. Now, that doesn't mean that what you went through was God's will,
or that he did it to you.
You know, God didn't ask this person to treat you unjustly. But God, seeing an unjust situation, delivered you from it. And I would ask you to really pray, not just to forgive this person, although I want you to do that. I want you to pray to have the eyes, like Lisa was just saying, to see how God used that to bring you to a different place, a place where you have a better quality of life, a place where you can thrive, a place without the same kind of pressure. And even though you might be saying, you know, look, there was something about I wanted to prove myself in that toxic environment, ask the Lord if that was really his will for you, or if he really wants you to thrive where you're at, and if he can help you appreciate not just where you are, but where he's leading you next. Because part of forgiving a person is being able to realize that I have reclaimed what I feel they took from me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what's happening is that you have received that God has given you everything that might have been taken from you, but there's this part of you that feels like, I should have been able to prove myself in this toxic environment. And maybe you shouldn't. And maybe that's the next thing to really pray about with this. So those two things I'd like you to take to prayer. Number one, you know, don't beat yourself up for hurting because you were hurt. That's okay. Just check and see, do you wish ill on this person? Are you talking about them behind their back? Are you gossiping about them? Are you holding on to the desire to hurt them for having hurt you? Or have you let that go?
And if you are still holding on to that desire to hurt them, first of all, take it to the sacrament of reconciliation. Admit it, receive that grace to heal and move beyond that. and make that a very important part of your healing process.
And then secondly, really ask yourself, has God helped me reclaim the things that this person tried to take from me? And even if I wasn't there, should I have wanted to be there? Is that a place that was really healthy for me? Or has God led me to a better place? And Lord, help me appreciate both where I'm at and where you're leading me to next. Focus on that for now, and you know, see what that does over the next couple of weeks. Give us a call back and let us know where you're at. But thank you, Max, for the question. If there's more we can do to support you in this process of healing, don't hesitate to reach out. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled, I Don't Accept Your Apology, as we talk about those times when forgiveness gets complicated, whether we're trying to forgive someone who hurt us or trying to get forgiveness from someone we hurt. What do we do when it's not so easy and not so straightforward? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10.
For godly sorrow produces a salutary repentance without regret.
So in this, St. Paul is responding to a letter he wrote to the Corinthians chastising them. And he's saying, you know, I see that you feel bad, but I don't feel bad for you feeling bad because it brought about positive change.
Your repentance, yes. Yeah.
And so he's talking about here this godly sorrow that produces salutary repentance without regret. This is really what we're talking about today. You know, really, a good apology means I own what I did. I can feel the hurt that I caused you. I recognize that you had a right to expect more from me.
I realized that I was just objectively wrong and behaving less than my best self.
And yes, I had my reasons, but they didn't justify what I did.
Right.
And finally, I'm committed to working to fix it. And that's what this salutary repentance means. I'm committed to making things right. And that godly sorrow that motivates me to want to heal the relationship and heal the damage that sin has done to our relationship is a truly holy work. Keep it in mind, 2 Corinthians 7:10. With that, we are taking more of your questions about forgiveness, either getting it or giving it. When More to Life continues after the break, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Back right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, I don't accept your apology. As we talk about the difficulties in getting and giving forgiveness, 877 573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to let you know that another EWTN radio affiliate, is celebrating an anniversary. Annunciation Radio, with five stations serving Ohio, is on the air for 16 years.
Woohoo! And congratulations to Dave Vacheries and everybody at Annunciation Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And we want to thank all of you who make EWTN Radio possible. Wherever you're tuning in to your local EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you are supporting that station with your prayers, with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Congratulations again to Dave Vacheries and everybody at Annunciation Radio, and to all of you who make EWTN Radio possible, particularly the listeners. Thank you so much. With that, we're taking your calls right now, 877-573-7825, on our show titled, I Don't Accept Your Apology. Who's up next, Lisa?
Let's talk to Cynthia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Hampshire.
Hi, Cynthia. What's up? How can we help you out?
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to share a pretty neat story to encourage other listeners about forgiveness, if that's okay with you guys.
It's great.
So,
what happened?
I was very angry with my father for over 20-some years. And as I started a process of forgiving, of wanting to enjoy my life, and I became aware that every time I would talk to my dad, I would get ungrounded, I would get angry, and I would have this wave of thoughts that would come in my brain and just take mental space. And I would be ungrounded for days. I mean, like, at least 3 days. Like, I would just snap at my husband and I'd just be so upset. So I started to research and do some work, and I became aware of certain techniques such as visualization, visualizing my father, good things to happen to my father. And changing when the thoughts would come, interrupting them, and praying for my father and wishing good on him. So I've done all these things, and still there was something that I still felt anger for him. So I cried out to God. I said, God, like, I just don't know what else to do. Like, I've done everything I know. Like I just don't know what else. I want to let go of this. And he showed me a vision of a tree. It was a dead tree that had fallen over, and there was one very big green root, very alive, that went straight into my heart. And that's what I needed to cut off. So not too long after that, he gave me the understanding that by expressing gratitude for everything that my father had taught me growing up, you know, just all the good things he had done really helped me to go from a fleshly behavior to a more spirit-filled, you know, behavior.
Did it change your relationship with your dad in some way?
Well, this is what happened, is as I kept practicing that, and every opportunity that something would come up, you know, like I remembered growing up, you know, how my sister would have me do my prayers. That was all related to childhood trauma. My father was related to childhood trauma. So remembering good things about my childhood and the good things he's done for me, what happened is when I spoke to him again on the phone, I felt this overwhelming love fill my heart and just shower my father and I. It was like this wave of love just came from my heart, and that was it. I never felt anger or hatred towards my father ever since, all because I cried out to God, and God showed me. He said, Cynthia, practice gratitude. Think about the good things in your childhood. Think about the good things that your dad has done for me. And it shifted my perception of him.
So let me talk about what I think that did for you on a deeper psychological level as well, because everything you're saying is I think right on, and I think it very admirable. But I also want to kind of pick out something that I'm reading between the lines. One of the things that we can do especially as adult children, is feel like I have to hold the pain from what my parents did to me almost to bear witness to all how awful they were, right? I want to hold them accountable for what they did. And that's on a certain level, that's right. We should hold people accountable for what they've done. But you got to a point where you realized that it's not really working. You know, this isn't holding my dad accountable. This is causing me a lot of pain.
Well, and as you said, you got to the point where you recognized that holding on to that pain was stealing the joy from your life. And that's when God started to crack through this pattern that you were keeping up.
And the point about being grateful for the things that you did receive from your childhood and for the good things that you did receive from your dad wasn't to deny the bad things that he did and wasn't to pretend that. What I think it did for you is it helped you stop seeing yourself as a victim. It helped you start seeing the strengths that you received both in spite of and because of what you'd been through, and because you were able to see yourself not as a victim anymore, but as someone whom God delivered, somebody who God brought out of a difficult situation and even gave you strengths and important lessons even from that difficult situation that helped you be a healthy adult now, you were able to let it go because you saw yourself and the whole situation in a very different light. When you were able to give up the feeling that I have to hold on to being a victim here, because that's the best way to hold my dad accountable. When you were able to stop seeing yourself that way because of all the work that you did and because of the grace you were receiving, that enabled you to change the relationship with your dad.
Especially when you stopped trying to do it on your own. You know, you were thinking good things for your father, all that. That was still very much fueled by what you were trying to do for yourself by yourself. But when you really said, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need you. I need you to show me the way. When, as you said, and it was so beautifully put, you cried out to the Lord. When we really authentically cry out to the Lord and ask him to come into the situations that we haven't been able to shift on our own strength, he shows up. And it's such a testimony that you're giving us today that he really showed up for you and allowed you to grow so much, heal so much so far. And I'm sure, because as you said, when you were first talking to your dad with all this in you, you wouldn't even be able to like really show up and be kind to your spouse for days, because as our last caller was saying, you know, the pain that your father put you through kind of was living rent-free in your head and making you run this anger and this pain for so long. And then God was finally saying, no, I want you to have joy. That wasn't just your thought. That was this his motivation for you, and he really showed up.
The one thing I do want to say, you know, God really gave you a bit of a miraculous recovery in the sense of, you know, he took away the feelings of hurt altogether. That may or may not happen for you, listener, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you haven't forgiven the person. Again, remember what the Catechism says, 2843, that it isn't in our power to forget an offense or to not feel the hurt from an offense. But it goes on to say, when we bring that offense to God, and it can be transformed into a spirit of compassion and intercession. And that's really what happened here for you. But it's important to know that forgiveness doesn't mean not feeling that hurt or not being upset. It means I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me, and I'm open to the possibility of healing our relationship if it's safe to do so. Because it's possible to forgive somebody but not be reconciled to them.
Yes.
Because they're not safe to be around. And when I say safe, I mean exactly what you were describing. Maybe they're not physically dangerous, but I can't interact with them and not have to spend the rest of the day or the rest of the week putting myself back together again. One possible way of forgiving that is doing the work on myself that I need to do to get strong enough to stop seeing myself as a victim so that I could still be around you, even though maybe you're not repentant or whatever. I'm in a stronger and a different place, in a healthier place, and I don't have to worry about you anymore.
And when we bring that to God, you know, some of us may experience exactly the same kind of thing that Cynthia did, but others of us are going to find healing in a completely different way, because God made each one of us unique and unrepeatable, and he knows that, and he loves you, and he wants to bring healing to you, and he'll do it in a way that works for you, so that you can become fully the person he created you to be.
So that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for being part of the conversation about forgiveness, both giving and getting forgiveness. And if you're struggling in some relationship to either forgive someone and you're feeling stuck, or to get someone's forgiveness and you're not sure what the next steps are, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll help you get hooked up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, and if we can help you out more, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.